guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I am so excited today to be in the studio with one of my favorite humans. He's one of my closest friends. He is an Egyptologist. He's somebody who's super fascinating. He's an entrepreneur. He is the founder of Bullets for Peace, the jewelry line. I'm sure many of you know about it. He owns Raffi Lounge, Saki House in Malibu. There is so many things this guy does. He is a super conscious entrepreneur. He was a Taoist monk. Yes, let's start there. I mean, the law of attraction. We are going to go deep into many things around peace, around spirituality, feeling your best self, Egypt, and of course, business and how to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Today, this is the show for you. Welcome!
Thank you.
Raffi Antebi.
How are you, Natasha?
I'm good. It's so good to have you here.
You too.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting.
So excited. Okay, so I really want to dive in to everything around your monk journey, because that is like a very big decision to make.
Yeah.
Why did you become a Taoist monk?
You know, I'm going to give you the short version of it, otherwise it's going to take a long time. But as a kid, I was already attracted to martial arts because I was bullied. I was very small, so I was bullied. That brought me into Kung Fu, and then I started to study about 8 hours a day. Kung Fu, Karate, Tai Chi, Taekwondo,
yeah,
and yoga. Later on, I joined the army. After the army, and after practicing Kung Fu already for quite a few years, 3 days after I finished the army in Israel, I moved to Hong Kong, and I studied under my teacher in his house 10 hours a day for almost 2 years. Later on in life, I moved to South Africa. The journey takes me to a lot of places. I came to America. I studied medical acupuncture. And one day I got regular check in my eyes and they told me that I've got AMD and I'm going blind. And I said, what do you mean I'm going blind? They said, yeah, you have this thing and you're going blind in both eyes. I said, when? They said, well, it's going to happen very soon. And the sooner you will learn about it, and we can send you to special schools for blind people. And if you start when you're not blind, it will be an easier transition for you. So I said, you're talking to the wrong guy. And immediately I talked to my teachers, who was 97, and he said to me, you should go to the Chinese Medical University of Beijing. I'll send you there. And then I'll send you to my older brother. Mind you, he was 97. And he sent me to his older brother, who is 104.
Oh my God, I love this.
And then I went to the Chinese Medical University and I took for a few months a private course with the head of the Qigong, which is another thing. It's energy healing exercises under the head of the university. And I took every day. And then in the afternoon, I would go to his older brother and study something that called sound Qigong, which is healing through sound. And after a few months, he told me, I think you finished. I'm going to put you in touch with my friends in Wudang, which is a Taoist mountains, and you should go to the mountains and practice. I went there, practiced for a while. I was with the monks, practicing every day, 10 hours, Qigong, Tai Chi, philosophy. And
you never got bored?
Never get, oh, I love it. I wouldn't go anytime back.
Me too. I see, that's anytime. How I feel. But a lot of people get bored when they do
nothing. Oh, no, there's
nothing.
So much
no
to
phones,
do.
So, nothing.
Yeah, no phone, no nothing. And then I came back and I went for a check. And they told me, we don't know what he did, but it's gone.
Wow.
And that was the journey. And then I started teaching Qigong to many people. Worked with many doctors and healers. They sent me a lot of their patients. The journey took me actually to one thing that I never failed to fix, which is anxiety through Qigong. Never. Anybody, people used to send me from all over the world, people that get anxiety. 1 week, they're done. They don't have anxiety.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to come see you. Well, I already did. I did your Qigong class at Raffi Lounge. My goodness. I mean, I know it's invite only, so y'all are like, you know, but it is invite only. And I was honestly moved. It was so powerful. I now do Qigong naked under my tree every morning.
How cool is that, right?
I was like, I'm going to send you a video. And I was like, how am I going to send him a video of this? I was like, yeah, definitely not. I don't send nudes. Like,
you want my monk answer or my non-monk answer?
You mean the non-monk?
Send it.
Send it. I you. This is why I love you, because you're so real and so spiritual. Like, oh, I love this. So wait, I'm like standing under this tree. You taught me this, and you taught me how to breathe. And you teach Tai Chi and Qigong in a way that I have never experienced. I think I didn't know you had that background for so many years as a monk in China learning it. Yeah. I knew that you'd been there. I knew you'd studied. Yeah. I didn't know you'd actually been doing it for so many weeks at a time. So that's why you teach it like a guru from there.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense.
I teach a lot of people. I think I had over my life experience about 4,000 students around the world. And and you know, everybody is like become, that's the traditional part. They become like your kids, so to speak. You have to take care of them. Sometimes the teacher in the old days become bigger than the father. That's what they call it in Chinese, Shifu, which means the father figure. Mm-hmm. It's really a father figure. My teacher passed away about a year and a half ago. He was like my father. And you need to understand how to elevate people. I've been long time a student of the esoteric studies. Mm-hmm. So I studied Taoism, which is my basic because it's a philosophy.
Yeah.
Taoism you can take to Christianity, Muslim,
right.
Judaism, and it will just embrace it and enhance it. Mm-hmm. That's why I love it. But I also studied after that Kabbalah for many years and the Kabbalion.
The Kabbalion. Ooh, I want to talk about that too. Yeah.
Kabbalion is definitely the base for everything in my
opinion. What is Kabbalion for our audience who don't know?
Kabbalion is coming from the Hermetism. Hermes Trismegistus, he was a Roman that they said that he was a reincarnation of Thoth. Thoth from old Egypt was the one that really brought all the knowledge about astrology and the principles of life. So really it comes from the Egyptian pyramids where it's written there. And there are seven principles to life. And those who are students of the Kabbalion, really students of the Kabbalion, they get information that once they get it, they can go back with that. They because now you really know the truth.
Mm.
And as harsh as it seems, listen, I went through a lot in the last 6 months. And everybody said to me, why you keep moving forward? I said, because I understand what's happening. So I cannot let it impact me in a way that will stop me.
Mm-hmm.
I can be the cause or I can be the effect. And I choose to be the cause, you know? So there are principles like the pendulum, which is very important. And then when I go with that, I'm just diverting a bit, but when you talk about the pendulum, there's somebody who wrote a whole book about the pendulum and the pendulum principle. And then they took it and they took it to the hemisync. Have you ever heard about the hemisync? So the hemisync is that the Monroe Institution was actually hired by the CIA to see how to control, alter realities and the mind and to change realities. And they use binaural beads, actually. But the one of the main principles, and a lot of them actually been taken from the Hermetism. And the pendulum says, and the swing to the left will be equal to the swing to the right. And all we need to know is identify pendulums in our life and then see which pendulum am I sitting on so that I know when to go on, when to go off. Mm. In woman have her own pendulum, right? It's the rhythm, it's got a rhythm. The moon, everything. You need to know and reach rhythm. So you cannot say, well, I'm on the pendulum of love, but I'm looking to see if my temperature is up or down, or if my physical body right now is up, it's two different pendulums. You need to know on which pendulum you're judging right now, so or observing, so that you know when to jump in, when to jump out, and then you all the time gain momentum because you never participate when the pendulum goes down on anything. It's a very big principle. So that's one of the principles, but there's many others. I mean, not many, seven to be exact. Last year I did seminar. There were like 150, 200 people. It was an 8-week seminar that I did with a pendulum. With a bending reality.
Mm.
And it was all about bending reality and how to take your realities and shift it. And I got to tell you something that I said to everybody because that's very important. I think the most important thing when people talk about manifestation is that, and that's the first mistake. You tell people, oh, today we're going to go for a manifestation. And everybody sees it and say, I want to manifest a car. I want to manifest this. I want to manifest that. And then you ask them, who are you? And who are you really manifesting? And then the Tao Te Ching, which is the book of the Taoism, says, as long as you work according to other people's expectations, you remain their slave. Most of us a slave to the system that is not us. Mm. So most of the people that come to me, they don't even know what they want. They don't know really who they are.
So true.
So they manifest things that does not belong to them.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem. So that's the main thing. For me always, when I say, and I sit with students, I said, who are you? And they will tell you a lot before they tell you who they are.
I know.
That's
I
why
know.
If you go to if you go to my lounge and you look at that sign on the top,
yeah,
it will say, welcome to Rafi Lounge and please let us reintroduce you to yourself.
Yes, I saw that. You saw I that? Thought about that quote. I was like, yeah. I wonder what that means. And you just explained it.
Yes.
And you do. Important. You get reintroduced to who you are.
Absolutely. Because if not, if you don't know who you are,
right,
you lost the game. You're going to be 50, 60, 70. I just lost a friend. I don't know if you heard. There's a guy named Alon Abudbul. He's a major actor, amazing man, good friend of mine. Boom, go to the beach, go to the water, come back. Heart attack dies. We don't know when. And don't wait for the last moment to turn around and say, oh, whose life did I live? That's something that is sad if you do that.
So sad. I say that to people. Yeah. We get a choice of who we're going to be. Yeah. We are the architect of our life. Life is a movie. You choose your character. You write your script. Who do you want to be?
Yeah.
Like today in my life, I want to be Natasha Graziano because yes. I wasn't her 10 years ago. And I'm sorry if you didn't get to know that version of me because I'm not the same version of her that I was 10 years ago, let alone yesterday. Yeah. And I keep evolving, but I decide who I want to be. And I want to play up as her. And that's why sometimes when I go on stage, people go, wow, it's actually like a performance.
Yeah.
It's when they see me on stage, like they often say, it's like a monologue, it's like a performance. And I'm like, of course, because I am becoming that version of me. Yeah. I'm stepping into my alter ego, like Beyonce, Sasha Fierce, and we could go through a whole list of people who have alter egos. But I, on stage, become that elevated, empowered version of me so I can reach you and you and you. And so the reason that we have control of our life is so that we can design it the way that we want. But are you going to allow the control to go to somebody else and then... Like you say, at the end of your life, you sit there and go, whose life was that?
Who was I? Or do I even know myself?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
When you are, and I'm sure you've been with a few people in their deathbed, what is the thing that they regret the most and that they maybe wish they'd done more of? Is it that they wish they made more money? Is it that they wish they had, what is it?
First of all, no one ever sat in his last moments and say, I wish I could make another dollar. Nobody's sitting there that. And that comes back to the first statement that you did in the beginning. You're gonna learn how to do millions and millions and millions, and I agree. But millions of happiness moments, that's what I wanna say. Because you can have billions in the bank and be the most miserable person in the world. Or you can have just okay money and be the happiest man. I'm not saying don't go make money. Rabbi Berg, the head of the Kabbalah Center, once said, you can drive the best Ferrari ever. Just remember that when a righteous person asks you for a ride, give him a ride. Not only because you're doing a good thing, it's going to make you happy. So I think that's the most important thing, to let people know how to elevate everything inside themselves so that when they come, and they're all meeting their maker one day, when they come to the moment, they say, I did more. And I tell you one thing. I love working out. You know, I practice Kung Fu every day. I practice Tai Chi. I do all that. Physical, no matter what, in the end of the day, it will start to decline. But of course, it's important to take it. What doesn't decline is spiritual study. You can always be more and more and more. So do that. I think that would be a great thing that everybody, when they take it later on in life, they will really... look at that. Here is another thing that I wanted to tell you. You're asking me about what people in the last moment.
Yeah.
And you're right. Unfortunately, I just experienced my sister's death a few months ago. And I was the last one to be next to her. And I think, in my opinion, is to really find the people that you love around you and make sure that they know it and make sure that they're around you all the time, as much as you can, because those are the moments that will count the most in the end. My sister, they discovered that she has something, it's called CJD, it's a brain disease, and we only had a month. It was during the fires in Malibu. I had to be in both places. And she was next to her daughter, next to my mom, next to the family, and that made her smile all the time, even though she knew she's dying. So definitely, be next to loved ones. And if you don't have loved ones next to you, start to look for it. Really start to look for it. You know, sometimes we don't feel that we need to ask that. But it's something very important. It's very important, you know, to look for love, to look for romance, to look for, you know, whatever. It's very important, I think.
I agree. I think love is the way that the planet goes round. Forgiveness, love, compassion, and feeling that level of love is the most amazing feeling. Like, if you don't love and lose, you'll never love at all.
Nothing.
You have to go in and be like, I'm going to do it. And, you know, I love manifesting love. When I decide I want another partner, boom, I'm like, I'm going to write him down. But I go into so much, I go into like rituals about it. I seek love, but we don't attract what we want. We attract what we are.
Yeah.
So if you are attracting douchebags, you got to ask, what do you like inside? Yeah. None of us can see what's going on inside of you.
Yeah.
Only you know the truth. Yeah. I always say, like, if you want to attract an ambitious, amazing partner who's loving and generous, how loving and generous and ambitious are you being? And mark yourself out of 10. And if you're not marking yourself really high, you need to work on that.
Work on that. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're bad. It means that there's work to do.
Absolutely.
And it's okay.
When you then work on yourself, and then this actually goes into the millions of money, and this is really interesting. You don't want to seek the money. You actually taught me this the other day. It's not the money you want to go after, and I realize I don't. It's the thing I'm really good at becoming so amazing that it makes me millions.
Yes.
It's my purpose coming to life, surrounded by helping people, that makes me millions.
How Seinfeld, when he said no to his show, and said, how can you refuse over $1 million an episode? He says, when you do what you love, money will come.
I agree.
You know? But you really have to own it and love it, you know? Because then I'm going to the lounge every day and I'm excited. It's my canvas. You know, now I'm creating the new place there. It's my canvas. Mm. So I go and I create and I build and I do. And, you know, obviously we're doing the Saki House. And for me, people say, I don't build places. I'm not a normal person, to say the least. And I'm okay with it, by the way. If somebody say that you're normal, worry about yourself. So I'm not normal. But when I build my Saki House, I don't build it as a place. I'm saying, okay, how much sake people will drink here so I can make my money. That's not my... I go to the sake house and say, how can I bring people so when they sit here, they still have the fun, they still enjoy, they still meet people, but they feel that I took them out of reality into Japan, right? Mm. So I went and I saw again the show Shogun, right? Mm-hmm. And I watched it and I go... And then I go, like I do, there's a Isumi. Isumi is a Japanese art, you know, brush painting, where you meditate for a long time and then you do a stroke of a brush and then it comes together. That's what I do with my everything, include the Saki House. I go there every morning before anybody there. There's a eucalyptus tree, there's an eagle on it every day. Really? I do my Qigong, I stand and I go, I walk around and nobody's there. It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
I
watch everything. And then when they come and they all come to work and I say to them, okay, you do this, you do that, you do that, you do that, and boom. So it's all about creating, you know, it's all about, and that's why they say all the time, enjoy the path, smell the flowers.
Otherwise you miss it.
Right?
If you're so fixated on getting to the end goal, fixated on getting to the top of the mountain, you miss the entire journey.
And what's on the top? Let me tell you the top. You fall from the top. If there's a wind coming, you're the first one to fall. First of all, try not to be the top. Try to be a little bit below. A little bit below. So when the wind comes, you have something to lean on. The top is lonely. The top is not that great. I think strive for the best. And I get it that everybody wants to strive for the best. But within the realm, right around the top, that's a good place to be. You're still on top of the mountain, but you're not top. I don't like to be on top, because then I sit there and I said, I'm here, but nobody's even there to see me. I'm alone. I'm telling you, I've seen people, you know, I talk to my friend, as you know, mm-hmm. and we look at a lot of them, and a lot of them are really not happy. And a lot of them are not really like, they're lonely. And the more you go, and that's not coming from him, that's coming from me seeing things. Mm. The more you go up there, the less you can trust who's really your friends.
I'm pretty known and I feel the same. I'm like, it's really hard for me at this point when people meet me like, oh my God, I love your work. I love this, I love that. How do I know that you actually are going to be there for me and my kids?
Yeah.
Like I'm a whole single mom. Like I'm a whole mother. Yeah. How do I know where your head's at? Because all I want to, and this is to be man or a woman, all I want to do is be there for people.
How old is your kid?
11 months and 8 years old.
Oh my God.
I know.
Bring them to Kung Fu.
I would love to.
I love teaching
kids. You have Kung Fu for kids?
I'm going to start now.
Oh, I love this. I mean, okay, wait. We're diving into the top thing. I want to talk about that, the Saki house. There's so much to talk about. Okay, so being at the top is very true. It can be very lonely. But I think here, I like the way that you analyze it of not going for that top position and going for something else and feeling like, you know what? It's like you shoot for the stars, and if you don't land the stars, you land the moon. That's still good.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You still went high.
Yeah.
And you still did amazing things. And I do believe it goes back to you as the architect of your life. Yeah. Decide what you want to be, who you want to be, who you're inspiring, everything you believe in, and why you want to be there. What is your why? Every single day, why do you get up? When I wake up in the morning, there were times in my life when I didn't want to get out of bed. There were times in my life, and I look back and I go, I was so low. I want to just go back to bed. And I wouldn't open the shutters all day, and I'd just stay in bed.
Yeah.
You know, I was so low and depressed. I was in a dark place.
Yeah.
I was in debt. I was unwell. I'd lost who I was. But that's when my why was born. Because my ego was shattered around me. Everything I knew had just shattered to pieces. And at first I was like, why me? Why are you doing this to me, God? Creator, why is this happening? And then I realized, no, it's not happening to me. It's happening for me.
Yes.
And it's happening to shatter this movie that I've created around me so that I can see the real me inside. And I had to split open big in order to see who I was so I would become who you see today.
Yeah.
If I didn't go through that traumatic time, that horrendous moment in my life, I would not be Natasha Graziano that you see today. I wouldn't be on the stage just speaking to tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be inspiring the people that I do and reaching the lives I do, because I would still be that self-arrogant, righteous model.
Miserable.
Miserable.
Yeah.
Focus on money.
Yeah.
That was all he was focused on.
The Rabbi Berg, again, from the Kabbalah Center, when he said the most selfish people is people that are depressed. You know why? Because all they think is me, me, me. Poor me, poor me, poor me.
God, you're so right. And I tell depressed people all the time, I say, could you do yourself a favor? Could you go focus on a charity and think about going right now to another country, another place, or even another part of the city that you're in, another place. Where can you go to right now that you can get involved with a charity and focus on somebody else's problems? Because all of a sudden, yours fade away.
Yes. And suddenly, you're happy because you're helping somebody. It changed your life. I agree. That's what I do with, when they send to me students, when doctors send to me people that are depressed, the first thing I do is pick up a charity. Pick up somebody that you need to help. We'll meet in a few weeks and then we go from there. Most of them never come back because they're happy.
Wow.
They're happy. Suddenly they see, wow, I got a purpose. I've got something.
So beautiful.
And really my life is not that bad. Not that bad, you know? I mean, we all go through challenges, but it's like going to a basketball game. You go to a basketball game and your team not passing you the ball, which is a challenge once you get the ball. But if they don't pass you the ball, you're upset. So life is passing you the ball. Why are you upset? Mm-hmm. Pick up the ball and play the game.
Right. It is a game.
Yeah.
I think we're in a simulation.
Oh, yeah.
We are in a simulation.
Oh, yeah. And we chose it. And we chose it.
We came in. Absolutely. Yeah. We chose our parents.
We choose everything. And, you know, I mean, I always say I know everything and nothing. But all I know is that I have to look at my life here and now and see. I walked in here. I chose it. You can invite me. I can choose it. You inviting me was you chose it. We choose every moment. We have thousands probably of choices a day that navigate us, and they make our life or happy or miserable.
100%.
Just the choices.
What is your why?
For me, you know, I since I'm a kid, I'm different, I told you. When I was a kid, I thought I'm gonna be Dr. Doolittle. I was sitting on the grass in nature and talking to everything, including the ants. So I think that me and my thing is to connect people. By the way, I want to say it quickly. I love AI and I love all those technologies things. But my why is to connect people back to nature.
Mm.
Bring people back to their source in a
that.
Natural way. So that you can see that so much exists, way more than anything else, in nature.
Sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's so powerful. Nature can heal you. When I sit in nature, like my dream is to have I've just like been doing my house and building all these beautiful things in it. Like I put my whole outdoors, my table outdoors, and I've made it where you can literally live outdoors if you wanted. Like
it's so cool, right?
It's so cool. And I'm like, I can't wait to have my husband and I can serve him his food and eat as a family. And we can just like be in the garden.
You can practice it with me.
I love you. And just like be and do nature things together, natural things. And just
so nice.
That is the real gift of
so
life.
So nice.
You know, I lay in my bath and I look out my window and I'm like where I am, I'm surrounded by like a jungle. And I look outside and I'm like, wow. And this is all I think for my 20-minute bath is look at the abundance in nature. Look at the beautiful pink flowers like the cherry blossoms or the big palm trees and the banana tree, and I'm looking at everything. I'm like, look at the abundance in nature.
You know how many times I have business meetings that we talk millions, sometimes we talk big money, we talk big things, we big, and suddenly a butterfly will go or a hummingbird and I'll totally get lost and I'm like I'm totally out. And I love it.
I know.
And I won't let it go.
No,
I won't let it go.
You know what you want to pray for is to always feel awe every day.
Yeah.
I want to feel awe every
my
day.
My Kung Fu brother, Eldan, in Israel, he teach Kung Fu there, and he said something one time on the social media, which I love. He says, I wish you that every day you will open your eyes and see the world as a child, you know? Because it's so beautiful. It's so,
so beautiful.
Pure, you know? And then you're like, wow. And I'm telling you, I'm wowing myself 10 times a day at least. On the way here, there's like trees with yellow flowers.
Yeah.
They had so many yellow butterflies. I was like, wow. Yeah, I was like.
You saw, yeah, that's what I mean. You had wow moments all throughout your day.
Yeah.
I agree. I love that.
Right?
Yellow butterflies, so beautiful.
It's really
the
cool.
The Saki house is so cool. By the way, like when I was there, I absolutely loved it. And the opening is coming up. And it's going to be awesome. And this one, make sure you make your rezos, guys. Oh my God. We put a link below so people can go and experience
it. Really cool. It's all about the sake pairing and how sake, which, because people don't know, sake is a whole world,
right?
Like wine, but it's unexposed. So it's all about how to pair sake with different foods and what complement what. And then we created such a Zen garden. You should see, you haven't seen it like last time now. Like,
right.
It changed so much, and we bought all kind of like Japanese lights, and I created the garden now with the scent thing, and everybody looked at me and says, Rafi, your dog gonna walk on that. What are you gonna do? I said, I'm gonna redo the garden. That's what Zen garden is all about. It's great. I'm happy. That's another thing that I'm, you know, so it's all like very Zen and very wow-ish. So I'm really looking forward to share it.
You know? I'm so excited and going to be the most amazing place. And the sake that you're bringing from Japan.
Yeah, we got all the way to $100,000 bottles. It's crazy. It's like, yeah. Sake can be very unique and can be, it's all about polishing the rice.
You know what my favorite is? It's plum sake.
Oh, we have
I hope you
do. We
do.
Absolutely.
You have plum sake?
100%.
It's delicious. It's sweet.
Yeah, it's so good.
I'm obsessed with it. And
it's
you just,
so good.
It's so good. And I don't even drink alcohol. You know, the only alcohol I will ever drink.
I don't drink much. I only drink sake right now.
I don't drink alcohol. The only things I've ever drunk is a sip of red wine because I was understanding what it is. And I get to smell it and inhale it. And that's really enough. And then I've never tried a spirit in my life. I guess sake could be counted as a spirit. And then I tried sake.
So good. And you know what's good about it? You don't get hangover.
No,
and it's gluten-free.
It's gluten-free?
Yeah.
So it's keto.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what an amazing.
It's really good. You know that babies in Japan, they give them a little bit of sake because it's soothing the stomach.
Really?
The digestion system. Yeah, it's really good.
It's formed different. Look, the sake house is a big go-to. So I'm going to put the link below for anybody who's there. Before we wrap, because there's so much I want to talk about. You are an Egyptologist. You are somebody who has studied and taught all about Egypt.
Yeah.
Tell me one of the secrets of Egypt. This is a big topic, but give us something that people can really like mull on.
Okay. I think, you know, out of the principles, I talked a lot about the principle of rhythm. And I talk about the pendulum, like I said.
This comes from Egypt?
Yeah, it's all come from Egypt. But The main thing is that the mind is all and the world is mental, meaning that the world is a mental thing, mm-hmm. that we are self-created. So when you understand that actually everything around you is a creation of you, and everybody is an actor, and you are the star, and you are the producer, and you are the director, then you really start to choose. If I give you right now $20 million and I'll tell you, go make a movie, you're gonna start to choose every actor very carefully, mm-hmm. to make sure that your movie is successful, right? Mm-hmm. Start to choose who's around you, because that's gonna make your movie. That's a very, it's a simple thing, but it's so profound, because we allow ourselves to waste so much time with people that just take our time, or not only people, moments. Think 1 second from an eye of director or of a producer. Do I need that minute in this movie? Is it going to enhance the movie, or is it just going to be a boring movie that some people are going to go to the restroom in that moment because nothing going to happen?
Right.
And if it doesn't serve you, let it go, which is probably the biggest art of all. Let go.
Wow, gosh, that is so true. And you know, you're an average of the 5 people you spend time with. I always say to people, if you are in a place where you are surrounding yourself with negative energies, energy-sucking vampires, people, partners, who are dragging you down, then you say, no, I'm stuck. I have to stay with this person forever. No, you don't. I've done 2 marriages and I will do a 3rd, and hopefully this one will last.
Yes.
But the truth is, I do not stay in a place where my energy is drained, where something is not serving me in the right way, because I give so much. And so when somebody starts to steal that energy from you, you have to call it back.
Absolutely. And it's a very important exercise to do also, to ask people, and I'm going to ask you, like, think about the 3 most important people that you love the most in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, my son, my daughter, God.
You had 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you in him?
The what?
Were you one of them?
Oh, wow, no.
You understand? We forget. We need to think about us.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we don't love ourselves enough too.
Wow.
You know? I mean, I'm not saying that you don't love yourself. Of course you do. But we forget it. And we need to put ourselves in every list. Every list that exists, we need to be inside, because if we're not inside, we're going to be an observer from the side.
That is so true.
We're going to be an observer. We're not going to participate.
We don't want to be an observer. We have to participate in our movie, and we have to choose the people around us. It's like, if you are in a bad relationship right now, don't waste any more time. Start to realize this is your chapter. You only got how many summers left?
Yes.
50 summers left?
Why would I give them a stage?
Why am I giving it to you?
Yeah.
I won't. I literally think I have, you know, X amount of summers left. I'm sorry. I cannot waste any more of my precious summers or Christmases or holidays, Hanukkahs, whatever it is, with somebody.
I learned through the 6 months, because I'm telling you, I've been through the war. I lost my platoon. I've seen a lot. But the last 6 months, with the fires, loss of my sister and everything, I learned more than I learned in my lifetime.
Wow.
By seeing who comes, who's not, who's for what.
I bet.
You know? You see, you know.
You are a beautiful soul, and you've really been there for so many people too. So look, I've learned so much today. We have to bring you back because we have to wrap, and I just want to bring you back again to talk just about everything Taoism. I want to talk about Egyptology, Egypt, the pyramids, the power of the pyramids. I think we're going to do a 2. But we'll book it in just to do an entire thing on that.
Yeah.
But for now, you guys, the link is below for the Saki House if you want to go for it. It's inside Raffi Lounge. Raffi Lounge has just been done up. It's so phenomenal. It's beautiful. I love all the ceremonies that you host there. They are so powerful.
We have the Lion's Gate coming on the 8/8.
Ooh, so excited.
Really good.
Wait, I know. By the time you see this, I would have already been.
Yes.
So yeah, this is so good. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Ben. Final words you want to share?
Just, I hope to see you again. And I want to see you all in our lounge.
I love that.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you guys again next week.